Santa marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 111. When's our next milestone, Mike? Just asking.
What do you count as a milestone?
I guess like 110 or 125. Oh, I know. 127.
Oh, yeah. Crossover day.
Let's not wind Jonathan up. Although he does owe me for that very late VAR call last night. All right, let me see so
anyway,
I can see the
111.
Chat. 111.
111.
111. Okay, then.
David Shepherd.
I'm lost with that.
I shall read it from Wikipedia.
If you would.
Not that I've not told you a million times.
Whatever.
David Shepherd was an umpire, cricket umpire. Perhaps his most famous quirk was his habit of lifting one foot off the ground whenever the score reached 111 or multiples thereof.
Oh, 222.
333. 444. 666. 999.
Oh no, let's not go there.
They being regarded as unlucky by Shepherd in a ritual dating back to his childhood cricket days. The number 111 is known as the Nelson and is considered unlucky for the batsman. Amongst other superstitions, he would tie a matchstick to a finger on Friday the 13th, so he would be touching wood to bring good luck all day. Also famous was his tendency to shake his hand while signalling fours, and to this day many cricket fans in crowds mimic his action while celebrating fours.
Fair enough, cricket's a funny old game, as they say.
It's a funny old game.
It is.
Isn't it, Greavesy?
Good evening, Jonathan. CQ, Deb, CQ. The less said about that, the better. Yeah, we all know that you were actually asleep, Jonathan, because we were talking to you and asking questions.
He fell asleep.
Do you know, I'm beginning to think once it's on the board, it's on the board. But I'll let you off this once. Hello, Kim. Ooh, genetic detective.
Right. I'm going to see the dog.
Is it on... who might have that? Amazon might have that. Let's have a look. Amazon Prime TV. Let's see if I get that in there. Oh, come on. I didn't know the professionals were on there. Interesting. Mind you, I hardly ever look, do I? I've got DNA detectives from 2017... But I haven't got anything that says genetic detective. No. I shall have to try now, TV. I shall try them all. Thank you for that one. That looks good. It's just my kind of stuff, that. Jonathan's admitting he was asleep and thus woke up in a daze. Right, next time, I'm going to whisper it. Hello, Paul. Hello, another Paul. Hello. It was a close thing, that, Jonathan. And your automator thing was hysterical because you must have a great memory. When I demonstrated that back in 2012, that's the way I did it. Not only did I use automator, but I'd created a whole little app. So when I came to do it this time, dug automator thing out, didn't work. And I didn't have time to fix it. So that was so funny. Your memory's clearly better than you thought it was. I've got loads of programmes coming up now on Prime TV trying to tempt me. And some books. But no, I mustn't be drawn on any more books. I did the... who uses Good... Is it Goodread? Goodreads? It's a website where you share your love of books, basically. But it's on your Kindle. So you might well have an account if it's on your Kindle. I've never done that thing, but I had a look at it today. All quite strange, I thought. I thought they'd be like a private way of doing it, but everything's public to some degree or another. So Goodread's pretty weird. But it might have a use because it hooks in very, very tightly with Kindle books. So if you've made some notes in your Kindle books, there should be a way to get them through to Goodreads, and then from Goodreads you can get them through to Notion. So, convoluted. Anybody tried it? Let me know. I've literally only just set up the basics, and I've got far too many Kindle books for my own good, to be honest. Literally thousands of them. Because I get lots of freebies. So it's like, oh, I might have a look at that. And then I do. And then I get far too many books. So actually adding all the books, you could do with an easier way of organising it, as far as I'm concerned. If you think about other things, Kindle's pretty primitive. Audible's just had a complete update. Anybody use Audible? Their update is to give you like groupings, so pretty much like shelves in Goodreads. Don't want to recommend the Kama Sutra in a public forum. That's an interesting point, that, Paul. I don't actually own it, do I? It was a gift to Mike. So really, it would be him doing that. But the thing is, you know, you start, you go in, you create your account, and it says, I think it was pick 20 books. No, first thing you do is pick some genres. And then it shows you some books from those genres and asks you, have you read them? Are you reading them? And to rate them. So you do all of that. And before you know it, you've got a public profile and those books are out there. Most of mine that I actually saw listed were either classics, so things like Wuthering Heights and The Tenant of Wildfell Hall. So I love the Brontes. I love Thomas Hardy, Charles Dickens. So they wouldn't be bad. And then many of them were kind of business books, stroke self-improvement kind of things. So those are the type I think you're more likely to write a review on. But then who's got the time to actually write book reviews unless that's your thing? And it isn't my thing. So I'd put some ratings on these books. And then I goes through and then I thought, well, OK, it said at the beginning you could decide who could see it. So what I ended up doing, bit of a hack, I guess, you can set it to only your friends. And obviously I'm a Johnny Got No Mates because I've only just set it up. So if I hide my profile and I haven't got any friends, then basically it's private. But interesting point about that. So Deb uses Kindle and Audible plus the library. Yeah, the new library features on Audible are pretty good. Again, I've just got quite a few books. It actually tells you, doesn't it, in Audible, how many you've got. Having said that, they've just changed everything on the profile. So now it's quite weird. Trying to find anything is a nightmare. Listening level. Surely you should have books. Badge collection. Whatever. Where's the books? That's in. Oh, no, there they are at the top. I don't know if it gives you. Oh, it does. There's kind of a chart that you can look at. I think it goes back. Well, that's a bit weird as well. Crying out loud. It used to have the years across the bottom and it's like an area chart. So if you think of like a plotted chart. Oh, Her Royal Highness and the England superstars outside playing football. It's plotted across the top with how many books you bought in each year. And then it gives you a total of books. So at the moment, I've been a member since 2008. But I'm very careful with how I buy with that. Don't you have a subscription to 2 books a month? That's it, Paul. That's exactly what I've got. I'm looking into something different that might be better. But at the moment, I take the 2 book subscription. I think Mike takes the 1. But what you can do is if you run out of your subscription voucher things, your credits, you get 2 credits a month. If you run out, you can buy 3 more. But when you buy the 3, they're a lot cheaper than the 2. So 2 will cost you £15 a month. But once you've used those, 3 will only cost you £17.50, I think it is. Like £5.67 each. So, and then when you've bought 3, so you've already got 3 for £5.67 each rather than £7.50. But then you can halve that again if you get a 2-for-1 sale. And there is a 2-for-1 sale on at the moment. So over the years, I have honed the acquisition of these books to the nth degree. There's 3-for-2 offers, 2-for-1 offers. There's offers where you can actually rent the Kindle book, which means you can buy for cash rather than credits the Audible book. And sometimes they're only £1.99. sometimes only 99 pence. In fact, I've got some for like 29 pence. I have no idea why they were so cheap. So I keep a close eye on that, trust me. So at the moment, titles in my library, 2,672. Yeah, just need to finish all of them. But it used to be a much better graph than that. You now can't see the years across the bottom. So that's another improvement. Fabulous. They've improved the experience and now I can't see the years. So what you used to be able to do, I wonder if you could do that. You can actually tap on one of the info points in there and it will tell you how many books you bought in a certain year, how many titles you added in a certain year. How do you find the time to do all my reading? Well, I love reading. Reading is all I do and I don't have a TV. So that helps. But what one trick, Jonathan, is to listen at two times. Sometimes I get a reader and it's like, oh, speed it up a bit. And you can speed it up. So if you're concentrating, so if I'm on my bike, then I've got nothing else to think about, have I? So I can listen at two times then. I wouldn't try doing that when I'm doing like processing of email, because I think it would just be too much. You do have to concentrate. But I'm just tapping about and seeing how many books I've added. Last year, there was 579. And the year before, 574. The year before that, only 350. And what about the year before that? 275. Anyway, this year so far, 274. And we are literally just entering the second half of it. But like I say, there's no way I'd be paying £7.50 for every one of them, I can assure you. Some are free. Some are very inexpensive and there are tricks to get them cheaper. No, I don't have the Illustrated Kama Sutra. Don't think it would work on Audible. But never say never.
It might do.
It might do. Yeah, somebody might read it through to you. Why not? Oh, it's Mrs. Simon. Hello, Mrs. Simon. Simon's doing something that looks fiddly and annoying with his computer. That sums up pretty much everything you can do with a computer. Mine was very annoying today. Very, very annoying. It's getting hot again. I know it shouldn't be getting hot again, but it is. It's 17 degrees, which is about 14 degrees cooler, but we're back to that oppressive, muggy, warm heat again. So I'm not a happy bunny.
Me
not
neither.
Not a happy bunny. Well, you've been out playing with Madam, so you're going to be hotter than usual. But your team did do you proud despite a bit of a dodgy start.
They did.
Didn't they?
Yes.
Shame about the dodgy start, because that set him off. I don't think it was helped by the fact he's watching it, and it's on a weird channel that we don't actually subscribe to. But United paid for us to watch it, so we're rather impressed with them. So he starts watching it, but it's slightly behind. So his watch buzzes. Can he help himself?
No.
No. You looked at it, didn't you? That didn't actually make you happy because it'd gone one down.
Yes.
But it was all right in the end. It was all right in the end. And I'm catching up with Friday night as well. Now, was it Friday or was it Thursday? I think it could have been Thursday. When Pete recommended The Thick of It. And I found it all on iPlayer. I thought I might have downloaded some. That's not the delivery man, is it, who's just gone past?
I've no idea.
Have a quick look. It was definitely a delivery van that went past Mike. Because he was early last week, if you remember. Three, four. He's disappeared up there then. That means he could be coming back. Maybe it's the same place he went last week. So it turns out I hadn't downloaded them. I knew nothing of it. So I'm fixing that right now. Which is proving more difficult than it needs to be. Why can't they just let you download the whole lot? Why do you have to fiddle and go round every single one? Because if you search for it, it's not there. So you've actually got to open up the page for every single one and then do it from there. Which I probably shouldn't be admitting, but never mind. So I'm on to the last series now. I haven't seen any of them yet, but I will do. But they need to be there. I don't know about you, but if I've got access to something, I don't like to start it if I don't know that we're going to finish it. I like to have out all of them there. And then I'm ready for a binge watch. Is this Simon's Hackintosh? Which looked rather nice. Oh, I really fancied one of those, just didn't have the time. You know, you've got to draw the line between building the systems and using the systems, which gets very murky with Notion. I like to tell myself that the playing around time I'm actually working, but, you know, being honest, I'm not. Jonathan, age is a terrible thing. When did you think of the question and what were you doing when you thought of it? That might help. Do you know, I didn't realise this programme was as old as it was, but I think it was in the lead-up to the 2012 Olympic Games, wasn't it? I know it's a political thing. That's about all I've got so far. But we'll see. Or is that the other one? Anyway, it's all been downloaded, so I'll sort it out. And I've also realised that Roger Allam's in it, who was in Endeavour. Anybody watch Endeavour? He played Morsi's boss. Very good in that. Ooh, second SSD. Excellent. Cloning High Sierra and then upgrading to Mojave. And if it all goes, using the SSD. How very wise of him. How very, very wise. Right. It was the dock moving around onto the second display by itself. Do you have that issue? No. No is the short answer. No,
that was short and sweet.
That's never happened. What I do with it, I'm trying to think when I set it up. I do it one of two ways. I either drag it to where I want it to be and then it just stays there. Or I go into the dock preferences panel and do it from there. Now, what I will say is, at the top where you've got the dock size, mine's the smallest it can be. The magnification's turned off. Then you've got the position on the screen, and my main one is on the left. So it's on my left-hand monitor. I never see it. So I'm quite happy with it there. What else have I got? Just some stuff ticked at the bottom and not ticked. So the ones I've got ticked are double-click a Windows title to zoom. Oh, didn't realise two options. How cool. Minimise the windows into the application icon. So I have that ticked. Do you know when I installed High Sierra the other week? And I just ended up with loads of stuff on the dock. And I'm like, where did that come from? And then I realised that there is an option to minimise the windows to the application, which I always tick, but you only ever do it once. You know, when you get a new Mac or you're installing a new OS and it's reset it, that's the only time you need to go in, and I'd forgotten to do it. So I put the tick in there, sanity restored. I don't have animate opening applications turned on, but I do have hide and show the dock automatically and show the indicators for the open icons, although I don't actually need it. And I don't tick show recent applications in the dock. That way madness lies. So with that, I've never seen it move, Jonathan. It seems to move when I wiggle my mouse along the bottom of the other monitor. Okay, I'll go and do that. No. Are you sure you've not got some sort of app turned on? Like Hot Corners or something? Let's have a look. Go back into the system preferences. That would be on displays, wouldn't it? And, oh, maybe it's not. Where on earth Hot Corners? I never use it. It would drive me mad. Right, Hot Corners. Mission Control, apparently. Who knew? I'm not seeing it in there. No, that's the screensaver. Come on. No, it must be Mission Control. There it is. Right. Hot Corners. Okay, Mission Control, Application Windows, Desktop, Dashboard, Notification, Launchpad, Start the Screen, Save, Put It to Sleep, or Lock the Screen. Doesn't look like Hot Corners, but it sounds something like you've got something turned on in there. Because mine never moves. Never, ever moves. In fact, I have the monitor with the dock on it is your primary monitor, as far as OS is concerned. So when I do Alt and Tab, it doesn't come up on my main iMac. It comes up on my left-hand screen, which is actually a benefit as far as I'm concerned. Some people don't like that. They want the dock out of the way, but they don't want the Alt and Tab out of the way, but I do, because it's a great way to switch between applications. And when I'm recording a video or going live, people don't see it. But you must have something else turned on to do that, because I've never seen that happen. You haven't got anything like Better Touch Tool installed or some mouse controller. It'll be something like that. It doesn't look like it's Mission Control, but it might be. You got something in there? Paul's like a pusher here with software. Jonathan doesn't need encouraging. He's bad enough. Oh, how fabulous. Do you mean you've not got everything from setup already installed, Jonathan? Oh, my. Right, I've got all of those. So now I need to report back to Pete that I've actually seen them. So I'll let them strut their stuff and then we're good to go with that. Excellent. So wander into Apple. Feel safe to do so and see what they say. No, I think you've got some app, because the same happened to me. Not with the dock. What was mine doing that was driving me mad? I think it was the twanging windows. You know, like Moom, but not Moom, because I've turned it off in Moom, where you have a window and you drag it over, and when it gets a certain distance from the edge of the screen, it twangs to it. And I had this happening on my machine, and I knew I'd installed nothing to do that. Anyway, I was setting up another machine from brand new. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll test it after every app is installed to work out which one's causing the problem. And I installed loads and loads of apps, and there was nothing causing the problem at all. And I must have got down to, like, you know, the last 10% of my apps. And I installed one, and it started doing it. And it was Better Touch Tool. And what they'd done was, Better Touch Tool is an extension. What on earth is all of this in here? It seems to have gone mad again. Let's go into that. That should work. There we go. Every time you go into it, it's totally changed. But it allows you to choose an input device. So it could be your magic mouse, could be your trackpad, or it could be anything else. So you could use Better Touch Tool remote. You can have named triggers. You can use gestures. You can use the touch bar. There's loads of stuff. In fact, it's actually sort of adding things like key sequences and typed words. And what they'd done was they'd added the ability, and, well, obviously it was an option, but they'd enabled it by default. Need taking outside and flogging for doing that. That when you dragged a window, it started snapping. But that, to me, why is that an option in an application that's supposed to be for a touchpad or a mouse? That it seemed just a silly thing to add. But they'd added it, and I think it was a global setting, and it was that was doing it, so I had to go in and turn it off. But I'd updated that app. I hadn't installed it clean from scratch. On the machine that it started doing it on, it was just a point update. And it was a tiny, tiny point update at that. So I managed to solve the problem by going in and sorting it out in Better Touch Tool. So I'd imagine it's something similar. You'll have something that's like a hot dock key. and the idea is you wiggle at the bottom of the screen and it will appear. But I've never seen it myself, so it's nothing I've got installed. Good luck finding it. Okay. It is true what you can get from MacPilot. I had another one as well, Onyx, that I use. And there was one I used to use to flush the caches on a regular basis. I can't remember what that one was called. Not done it in a while.
Oh, updated delivery time.
Go on.
9 to 9:30.
From
9 to 10.
That means he'll be here about 10 past 8.
If Lassie Weaves was anything to go by.
He will get here, Mike, and he will have your toys with him. So what more do you possibly need?
I didn't get any
toys.
I just got the essentials.
Jonathan thinks it'll be something he's done. You know what could have happened, don't you, Jonathan? When you nodded off last night, yeah, you could inadvertently have lent
something.
On something.
Yeah.
Let this be a salutary lesson to you. No, I can't imagine. I don't think that's at the system level. That's got to be an application of some description. And it'll be something that's like a helper. Like, in fact, is it in Moom? Does Moom allow you to do that? Obviously, I would have that turned off. Let's have a look if Moom do anything. And it would be the mouse, wouldn't it? Do we have jiggle mouse at bottom of screen? No, we don't. We do have snap edges and mine's turned off. But if you turned it on, would that do that? It could be something like that, you know, because another option would be, instead of there being an option to say, move the dock to where you're wiggling your mouse, the option could actually be change the primary screen, in which case the dock would automatically move, as would your Alt and Tab. So you need to think about that to try and help. Yeah, I have stuff like that. Everything gets nuked. Don't try and help me. And there's a book about that. Who Moved My Cheese? Do you remember that? When Nina was leaving work. They were introducing stupid things like hot desking and things like that. And they look at that from the perspective of a financial saving to the business. And they forget that we're all human. And we all like our own little space. And we like things our own way. Not like drawers on wheels that you wheel across and then you get all your pictures out and you put them up. I remember visiting the British Library years and years ago, went on a tour around the place. So you actually got inside, and it's not a library like a traditional old style, you know, the old Etonian library. This is a modern up-to-date thing that was way ahead of its time. It was about 88, I think I visited, and they had an automated system, and it was like buckets on wheels that ran on a tram track. It was amazing. And people would just throw stuff in it and then it would automatically get routed around the entire building, physical stuff. It was astounding.
I'll tell you about hot desking and people liking their own little space.
Well, when I went to visit, what struck me was I was thinking it was such it's like a government building, and not that there was a lot of visitors, you know, there was only like tours. It wasn't like a tourist attraction. There was like five of us in a week, you know, so it wasn't a huge number. But what did strike me was that people had their own cubicles, and these cubicles, I'd never seen anything like it. Now, fair enough, that was like my first job. But, and I didn't have a desk at all because we didn't have room. It was a long story. But it struck me with these cubicles, they were more decorated than my home was. They'd taken in pictures and toys. You looked at these cubicles and honestly, I thought, that's ridiculous. You know, that's work and you don't need the place decked out. They had wallfuls of stuffed toys and posters, you know, pop stars and stuff. I thought it was ridiculous. But looking back at that, it just shows you how much virtually everybody in the building wanted their own space and to reflect them or be somewhere their happy place. And if you take that off people, they get uppity. So this book is called Who Moved My Cheese? And we were laughing about it because I don't think I know anybody as laid back as Nina. And when she was told they were doing this hot desking thing and that, she completely lost the plot. So go on, tell me about your hot desk. Well, what did they do to you?
No, two stories. The first one was probably about 7 or 8 years ago at AZ in the main building, because I used to go to people's desks and help them out.
Those were the days?
Those were the days, yeah.
Within a metre?
No, it wasn't within a metre. No, not in those days. Those were the days where you could actually sit next to somebody.
Stuart's getting his notebook out, Mike.
How do you know it was female?
Oh, trust me.
As it happens, it was.
Oh, you're like a magnet.
Yeah.
He's a babe magnet.
Yeah, anyway, this woman...
See, both, I knew.
She'd not long come back from maternity leave, and she had a photo of her baby pinned up to her wall of her cubicle. And this baby was lying on his tummy, totally naked.
See what I mean? Now, I wouldn't be comfortable with that.
But no, my point is, at what point does that become... I know you won't think it's cute anyway, so you don't have to answer the question. But at what point does that become instead of cute, pornographic.
It's not cute. It's not cute.
See, I knew you'd say it's not cute. No, the other story was about when I was at that software company. And we did all have our own desks and we had our photos on there. I had a photo in a frame of the dog. And then we got a big redundancy program and 50% of the people who worked there got made redundant. I wasn't one of them. I got made redundant about a year later. But once everybody had gone who was being laid off, everybody else, you know, actually everybody packed all their belongings into a cardboard box, even those that were staying, because none of us knew when we got called into the meeting who was staying and who was going. And nobody wanted to unpack their boxes in case they were next to go.
So you started living out of boxes?
Exactly. Kath says, loving the musicals tonight. Totally unexpected. Thank you so much. So, yes, nobody trusted the management from that point. It was like, oh, better not unpack my belongings because I might be the one getting the chop next week and I'd only have to pack them up again.
Do you know, that so reminds me of me. The first place that I worked was a small solicitors company and they'd grown exponentially in terms of the number of cases because they were the only ones who did medical malpractice at the time. So they needed more office space, but it wasn't like customer-facing office space. So it was far cheaper to take office space where you wouldn't have had a client. Trust me, it was like light industrial space. So that was what they did. And then, because they've got so many cases, they needed to take more staff on. And the problem with that was, that place was then full. So there was no desks by the time I got there. We were just about to move into bigger premises. So when I moved on to the next company, I'd got my own office. He actually chucked a secretary out, you know, so I could have my own office. Which, you know, you feel bad about when you see her walking around with her stuff in her box. So I went in and he had this guy in to put some shelves up in the boardroom. So I grabbed this bloke and took him to my office and said, can you put me two shelves up there? So he did. So I then put like my reference books on it and stuff like that. So it wasn't toys and pictures. It was legal books. And then I was thinking, this is a bad idea. But my fee earner came in, the pupil master. No, not pupil master. What the hell was his title? Whatever he was. He was the solicitor. I was his
underling.
Assistant. Yeah. He'll come to me. What you? Article clerk. That's the phrase. That's what I was. An article clerk. So he came in and he saw these shelves and he's like, nodding with approval. Because I thought, oh, he's going to go mad because I've had the guy put two more shelves up. But he didn't. He approved greatly. And it was like, I'm glad to see that you're settling in. And once he'd said that, do you know, it totally freaked me out. I thought, oh my word, he's right. What if I suddenly had to leave and I've got two shelffuls of books? But I thought, I can't take the stuff off the shelf now because he'd notice if there were two empty shelves. So I'm looking at it and I could not get comfortable after that. Because what he used to do was, he would, obviously as a student, you probably don't have the best of cars. And I probably didn't have the best of cars. So what he wanted to do was shame you into buying a new car for which you would need a loan. Now, bear in mind, I'm paying off my student loans at this point. I didn't care what my car was. I still don't care what my car was. But he was like, oh, you need a better car than that. You need something newer than that. You need, yeah. And what he wanted you to do was financially become dependent on the company. Whereas I wanted to be independent to the point of walking out if I chose to. So we had this clash early on and I wouldn't change my car. No way. And I said, no, I'm paying my student debts off and then I'll think about a car. So when these books appeared and he was like, oh, I like to see that, means you're settling in. I thought, oh, dear. So what I started doing was once a week, I took one of the books away. It took me about 20 weeks to clear the shelves. But I was replacing it, like, I'll put a file on there, I'll never notice the difference. Eventually, the shelf was actually empty of my own personal stuff, which was just as well. Because And this was what I think you have to be prepared to happen. He'd got somebody in. Long story short, this guy was in it to clear cases. So a solicitor didn't get paid until the case was closed. So he was brought in. He wasn't a solicitor. He wasn't qualified. He'd just got experience at like insurance companies. So he was brought in to tell you to close cases. Now, the thing with that is he isn't qualified. So therefore, he's not a member of the Law Society, which means that he isn't responsible for malpractice if you close a case. Now, when I say if you close a case, because let's say somebody's been bitten by a dog, that actually happened. And we were representing the person who'd been bitten by the dog. We got offered something stupid like £1,000. And I said, clean out, no way. This was a pretty serious bite. It was a lifelong scar. It was a serious bite. So he said, well, what do you want? Now, this was bearing in mind, we were going to court the next day. The only thing was that we weren't going to court because I hadn't got a doctor, but he didn't know that. So it's a matter of like bluff and counter bluff with it. But ultimately, my responsibility is to get as much money for the client as humanly possible. And if this guy stood over you saying, settle it, settle it, the minute they offer £2.50, I'm supposed to settle it and I wouldn't do it. So I had a conversation with Mike and said, this is ridiculous. I can't stay. It's as simple as that. And I did go in and I did talk to my principal and I did sort of explain how I felt. But it was like, well, that's what's happening. I thought, fine. He obviously felt that you were in a position that you would have to stay. And I thought, I'm not doing it. So I remember this particular day, I had tidied up every case known to man. I managed to get nearly £9,000 for the lady with a dog bite, which obviously he'd have settled for £1,000. And I was looking at the shelves, nothing on there's mine, he just thinks it is. And all I had to my name was my handbag. And I was about to go in and tell him I was leaving. So I took this handbag and I was thinking, you know, if I take it in with me, he'll know something's going on. But if I leave it in my office, he might escort me from the building and I might not be able to get back and get my handbag. So I put it on top of the filing cabinet just outside his door so I would have an opportunity to grab it on the way past. And I did. I went in and I told him straight I wasn't doing it. Oh, at which point it was like, oh, well, what's going on and all of this? Lovely, lovely, lovely footnote to that story, wasn't there? About 3 months later. You've forgotten the footnote. Mm. Oh, I haven't forgotten the footnote. Trust me. The footnote was, I'd walked and I said, it's immoral and it goes against the rules of the Law Society and I'm not doing it. And he wasn't a solicitor anyway, so he shouldn't have been telling me anything. So about 3-4 months later, I meet somebody who had made the decision that they were staying. And she said, have you heard about this bloke? So I said, no, I haven't heard a thing. So she went, oh my God. He didn't come into work one day. I said, what do you mean he didn't come into work one day? So what, he's got a cold? She said, no. She said he finished work like on a Friday, pretty late. She said, and on the Monday, he didn't come into work. I said, and? She said, he'd done a runner. And I thought, well, so what? So did I. I walked out. So she said, no. He did a runner with the money. No wonder he was so keen to settle these cases. He had the money from the cases that were settled, put into a client account that he had access to, and late on the Friday night, he withdrew all this cash and legged it. Oh, was I glad I had had the foresight to leave months before? Because, yeah, that would go against you. You're the solicitor. You're the one registered with the Law Society. Good job. I was long gone. Let's have a look. First car, a Ford car. Cute. Mine was a Nissan Micra. And it had done, I think when I bought it, it had done, well, Dad bought it for my 18th birthday. I think it had done 3,000 miles. It wasn't even a year old. The only reason it was for sale was that the lady who'd bought it had got a new job with Ford and they had given her a car. So this was for sale outside their, it was like a garage they had. So Dad said, we're having that. Ooh! SSD copying over. Good luck, Simon. Fingers crossed. All of Kim's cars have over 100,000 when she sold them. Mine's currently done about 43,000, I think, and I've had it 20 years. Nothing wrong with it, it still moves. Hey, well, it did Kim. The last time I went out, but that was a while ago.
Hey, Kim, I thought of you earlier. Where is it? Of course, it's moved. There was something on the BBC website about people getting injured in Seattle in some scrap.
Oh, I saw something about that a couple of days ago. Things weren't good.
It's disappeared off the homepage now. But I thought Kim will be all right. She's not going out.
We had no fears about you or Kiva. No, I've never bought a new car, Simon. I think it's ridiculous. New cars always seem to have issues with them. And yet you're going to lose at least 20%, aren't you? So why bother? We have got a friend who works in car sales. And he's been tempting us for years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But we're not biting.
There it is, Kim.
Have you got it?
Yeah. The other one I've just seen, it says Catalonia renews strict COVID controls on over 200,000 people.
Oh, yeah, this would be right, because we've just opened up to Spain. You can come and go as you like.
That's where Tracy lives, isn't it?
Catalonia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it particular to Seattle, Kim? Is there some sort of reason? I know I've read about some weird stuff going down in Texas, but that seemed to be everybody meandering around with no masks. And then
there's been unrest in Seattle since George Floyd died.
I don't know. I would have thought in the middle of a pandemic that might have had a slightly different... But clearly not. Clearly not. Mind you, look at us. Manchester, home of the rave, 6,000 people. And today, Bournemouth were in town.
Melbourne locks down tower blocks as cases rise. We'll be in lockdown again.
Of course we will. It's as if, you know, let people out for a haircut and then they'll be locked back in again.
Yeah.
I mean, on the BBC homepage, there's a thing here. And it says, BBC, do you remember that clip of early doors when Boris had got taken into hospital? And somebody, the newsreader was doing a grand job of newsreading, and all of a sudden there was this thudding.
Yeah.
And this guy came in and walked clean across behind him and sat down. That is Chris Mason. Today, he had a haircut live on air. I mean, is this what news has come to?
Yeah.
Apparently so. And there were queues outside the barbers and queues outside the pubs. Oh, and apparently Watsit's in trouble. But then there's no difference there, is there?
No, Boris.
No, the other idiot. Farage. He went over to a Donald Trump rally. I know, I'd wonder. I don't consider that essential myself, just saying. But he couldn't have returned more than 13 days ago, so he should be self-isolating for 14 days and he's in the pub. This is why we are not in the pub. There you go. Police, Kent Police asked to investigate Nigel Farage's pub trip.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, what a saddo. What an absolute saddo. He says he's been back for 2 weeks and have been tested. Result was negative. Sorry to disappoint you. It's ridiculous. This is the one who's Trump's best buddy. So it's a progressive city to the point they don't prosecute rioters. Oh dear.
License to riot.
Yeah, that's strange. Well, that happened here, the stand down. You know, leave people alone. Oh, Mrs. Simon, really? That was the excuse? I'd heard he'd said it was essential because it was to do with business. He was going to his Greek holiday home to get it ready to let it out. Why he couldn't pay somebody there to do that is beyond me. But I didn't realise he'd then said he didn't travel directly from the UK. I mean, it's all semantics. It's as bad as Dominic Cummings, don't get me going. They all just want locking up somewhere. Let the criminals out and put the politicians in jail. Do you know, I think the country had run smoother.
Mm.
They really do talk through their illuminated backsides at times. I think the only reason we've not got that kind of unrest here at the minute, Kim, is the weather's not good. If the weather was better. He told the international press that the Minister of Tourism has his papers and can see where he travelled. Went via Bulgaria. That's actually worse, isn't it, though? So he's got people in the UK where he's actually returned to, and now he's gone to Bulgaria. He could have infected them and Greece. Ridiculous. It sounds like you're in the middle of madness there, Kim. So I can come to Manchester for a layover in Iceland. Probably, Paul. In fact, I don't think we'd stop you coming in. With that idiotic, it's unbelievable. I would think people would have more respect for themselves. I mean, they might not care about infecting other people, but none of them seem to be concerned about themselves. Over here, we have had stories of people who either haven't made it or only just have made it. And no, they're saying, like, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. Don't do it. Don't go out. Maybe we need more of that on the TV. It's ridiculous. I mean, sitting in a pub, technically, you know, if you are socially distancing, it should be reasonably safe if it's clean. So if you're the first one in today, it probably will be clean. But, you know, how long before it's not as clean as it needs to be? And can you use the bathroom facilities or not?
I don't know. Good question.
I'm full of questions. Never seem to get any answers. Have you noticed that? Oh, no. Can you imagine having to go there? You've been watching a live stream to see it's a good time to go. Could you not go out of state or something? Or you're not allowed out of state? I can't imagine the pressure and the stress of that. Now, when you say dragged from your car, that reminds me of when I mentioned, you'll remember it, I can't remember. Rodney King in the 80s. And the only bit of, I mean, we knew the name, we knew what had gone on, but I don't think we, in this country, were being wall-to-wall fed videos of what happened after, all of the riots after. But the one thing I saw that did really explain it to you, you know, what was going on, was an episode of LA Law. His name was Markovitz, wasn't it? I can't remember his first name. Stuart Markovitz, one of the lawyers who was married to another lawyer. And he got dragged out of his car and beaten so badly, he sort of totally changed personality. It's just so scary. You just think they're going to ignore it. I think some people think they're Teflon. Nothing touches them. That they can just go about their business with complete impunity. Don't understand it. So they're setting fire to government buildings and nobody's actually doing anything about it. Oh, Deb. Oh, wow. It's crazy. We think we're bad here. Have they covered up Winston Churchill again?
No idea.
They covered him in scaffolding and then covered the scaffolding in sheet metal. But then they uncovered him because President Macron came to visit and it didn't look good. So they unveiled him. And I don't think they've done him up again. Might have done, not sure. But he was definitely ceremoniously unveiled for Macron. You think they should just take all the Churchills down? What, is there more than one of them? That's the one near Downing Street, I think, isn't it? There probably is more than one of them in different cities. Trouble is, they went up at a time and that was the decision at the time. When I think of the things that are going on now, times change. So why, if we're now at the point of like, history doesn't matter, or think times have changed, let's get rid of them. Why are we still naming buildings? Why can't we name them like the Butterfly Building? Completely, you know, that's not going to be named after any
Elaine
person.
Elaine Giles House.
No, we don't need that. Definitely not.
Well, we've got Magpie's headquarters.
We do. But that's not after a person, is it? I just think it's like asking for trouble down the line. I mean, I'm sure at Stoke Mandeville and Jimmy's in Leeds, there were things named after Jimmy Savile, which probably aren't named after Jimmy Savile anymore. That's the kind of thing I mean. You name it after somebody and then yet subsequently you find out and you're like, no, well, don't name it after people. Full stop. How about name a building Biggles? Biggles, Jonathan. We don't need statues for history. We don't, but some people get very upset about them being taken down. I guess I'm kind of in the middle. I don't really care one way or the other. Some people would, and then they would kick it off. Like, well, wasn't that image on the paper? There was an image on the newspaper probably about 3 weeks ago, and it was that weekend when everybody was kicking it off. So there was a lot of Black Lives Matter protesters out, and at the same time another lot came out and they'd called themselves the Protectors of the Statue Brigade. One of them fell over and one of the Black Lives Matter guys picked him up and literally carried him to safety. Now this guy, this Black Lives Matter guy, he must have been about 6'6". He'd have been a fabulous basketball player, and he just literally lifted this guy and carried him to safety. So it shows you they can play nicely when they choose to. So they're the type that, mind you, the funny thing with that was they asked this guy what statue he was protecting and he had no idea. I think he was just, you know, been in the house a while, I fancy a day out. Oh dear. They don't respect the environment. No, they don't respect anything. What's happening over here is people are going out and they're not particularly protesting about everything or anything, to be honest. But what they are doing is just generally having a rare old time. And then when they leave parks or beauty spots, it's just full of rubbish. So there's been beaches, beauty spots, parks. You should see the photographs. They are absolutely disgusting. One of them was a beach somewhere and the locals had to go and tidy up. And you think that's not safe for the locals to do. But the people who are out on the beaches are probably the same ones complaining about plastics in the sea. Well, yeah, that's what happens when you leave them strewn on the beach. Oh, the only people interested in protecting statues are the far right racists. I think there are other people who would rather the statues stay there, Simon, but they're not the type who would go out and protest it. So the ones who do probably would be banded as far right racists. History will repeat itself. It will. Because this thing, like, you're teaching children aged 3 not to be racist. They're not born racist. If they are racist, that had to be educated somehow. So how you're saying you need to uneducate a 3-year-old? Well, who educated them to be that way in the first place? Don't understand it. I was at school, I was probably about 6. So it'd have been about 1973, 1974. And my school was fantastic. It was a Catholic primary school. I wouldn't say every child in it was Catholic, because that's a bit of a misnomer when you think of a Catholic school, that all the kids are Catholic. No, they're not. Not by a long way. Probably the most you'd get is about 60%. The rest of the kids are either of other faiths or no faith, whose parents want them to be there. So I don't know, looking back to the 70s, what percentage of them were Catholics. But what was fantastic was we had about 4 or 5 kids from Poland. We'd got about 3 or 4 from Grenada. There was a girl joined the year I joined, and she was from Spain. And they all spoke their own language and they all spoke English. And we all just got on, and it didn't matter that some were very olive skinned and some were black. It didn't make a jot of difference.
She wants her treats now.
Oh, you want your treats now, do you, madam? Let's have a look. What have we got? Oh, we've got succulent sausages.
Come on.
Beef and venison. Do you fancy some? You're just hanging by the door just to see if it's worth having. There you go, look. They're high. Whoa, Lola, they stink, girl. Right, so we'll have 2 of each, I think. So 2 venison, 2 beef. Put the other ones back in that absolutely reek. Right, we'll give Daddy one of each. Right. Now, see, she's taken with these. These she definitely wants. Look at that little face. She's eating those all right. Kiva wants some. Kiva would like these. We wouldn't have known to give her these, but her first family brought some round for her about 8 months ago. Yeah. They're from Asda. They're Asda Heroes. And they are, it says 8 succulent sausages on the front, but they're beef and venison. And she is very, very
and
partial.
They stink.
They absolutely reek. Good night, Simon. Enjoy your dinner. Did she react to the sound of the package? What have we got there, Lola? I think that's the beef one, because the other one stinks even more. So I'm assuming it's the venison. Oh, you're never going to get agreement with this lot, are you? You're definitely not. Now I need to make sure that I've got some music keyed up. I've got the one that I think is a good one to start with, but I'm going to have to say to Kim before we get any further, if it's a really terrible version, I apologise, because I wouldn't particularly know what sounded, how it was supposed to sound. But I listened to it and I thought it sounded okay. And it's only a minute 21, Mike, so we might get over the 70 tonight.
Right.
So she's eating those fit to bust. Yes, Brooklyn's in 4, apparently, or 4.5. Because I overran fractionally, didn't I? Now, do you want something else now?
3, bang on.
Don't say 3, or she'll want 3 treats.
No, 3 minutes.
Right, okay, I'm looking for a treat here. Find out. You should see the floor, it's covered in them, Lola. Right. Do you want that one now? You wouldn't eat that one before. Oh, you are spoilt. I wouldn't have her any other way, but I better move that venison or she'll never leave me in peace. Right. Oh, we're going with Jonathan on his walk. Don't forget to get a song request in, Jonathan. Oh, no, they cancel the fireworks. I always think the 4th of July fireworks look amazing. We'll do fireworks. We'll find some fireworks. We will. There must be some of those, actually. But I know what I'm going in with, and then I know what Mike's got keyed up next.
Right, so it's just under 3 minutes because we're letting the other programme run, aren't we?
We are, because it overran fractionally. Oh, I do. I'll have to have a look at those. Oh, in fact, I've got an idea for a good song, Mike. We'll have to add that. 8:15 for your walk. Excellent. Excellent. Now, I need to do an out on here this week, so I totally forgot last week. And Mike's been adding songs willy-nilly in here. And I haven't got any of them keyed up. So I've got one keyed up. So it would be a good idea to have 2 keyed up at least, wouldn't it, Mike? And I've got one that I've not put in. And we've got a trio from Frank. Do not let me forget the trio from Frank. Yeah. And we've got a song to celebrate haircuts in the UK. Oh, I see we've got one of your women in as well, Kim Wilde.
Yeah, because that came up.
It just came up, did
when
it?
When I searched for America.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
Right. So I've got some songs keyed up. So if we're going in with those 4, I'm okay. Right, I'm ready to go. Aren't I organised? A bit. I can't hear anything, though, to be honest. So I need to up that fractionally.
1:30.
1:30 and I'm ready to go. Excellent. Well, Kim had a bit of a panic last night, didn't you? Thought I'd said it was the end of Marooned. Not the end of Marooned. No. Going into next week. So we'll definitely be here with you tomorrow. Down, she's still eating. Look at her. Is it all the football? To keep your figure. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm. Good girl. Good girl. Don't spit it out. Oh, she wants better. She wants the sausages. So we will be here. And this week I'm looking at... I've got slots free on Friday. So I know the minute I say that, you all chime back at me with Devon Think. I'm on it. I'm on Devon Think. But that's a big topic. And I feel that I would like to get all 3 parts of it sorted before I start the first one. And then end up doing weird things. Right, it's 8 o'clock here. So I'm going to say goodbye, but you're still going to be here.
30 seconds.
So it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time.